No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot, I'm not a stranger. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to, Greg, your co-pilot. That's me. And you are on board for another edition of Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. We will be joined momentarily by Captain Keith. At least that is the plan. However, I'm going to kick off today's radio spectacular with a good friend of mine from one of my other shows, Scuba Radio. And as I've described many times before on Just Plane Radio, you know, my initial passion was diving. And then there were some places I wanted to go, you know, go dive to. And I was having problems getting there. And I'm like, hey, I need to fly. I need to charter a private flight. Start talking to the pilots. And next thing you know, hey, I think I'd like to do this as well, which led us to starting Just Plane Radio. Yeah, it's a pretty good gig. I get to go all around the place and do a little dive and do a little flying, and you come along for the ride, and you know, we learn stuff together, or better yet, you learn from my mistakes, which unfortunately has been more than I would like to admit publicly, but that just goes with the territory. Now, Dennis is my guest, and like I said, Dennis and I go way back. Dennis, welcome to Just Plane Radio, first of all. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today, Greg.
So, you know, we have this passion or shared passion for diving, and after I started Just Plane Radio, he goes, you know, I've been flying for many years, even before I did the diving thing with you, and you know, this, you know, I got way more experience than you. I should be doing this show for you, right, Dennis? Wasn't that kind of what you said to me on the boat one day?
Something along that line, yeah.
It was either you were just talking or it was the rum talking, because we had finished our diving for the day and popped up popped open a bottle or two maybe and had a great conversation. But I know your passion for flying equals that of your diving. Are you with me on that?
It sure does. I've been flying since 1988. Actually, I started it while I was in college, trying to decide, you know, what I was going to do with the rest of my life, and was working for the Air National Guard and had an opportunity to go to flight school. And so I figured, well, maybe I should learn to get my private license before they send me off to flight school. And so that's what I did. I worked at an airport for a summer and got my private license, all, you know, well, paid for it all by filling up other people's planes and washing the bellies and, you know, the typical ramp rat type things.
Yeah. Well, you did what you had to do to, you know, get that fix for flying, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So now, you know, fast forward many years later, you've dove quite a bit around the world. You actually have joined us on one of our dive trips before, and we've had a great time. And you haven't really put it to the focus that I want to go to eventually, which is to get to some remote islands and dive, you know, out of your own private plane, or at least get there and then dive some of these pristine places that, you know, the domestic carriers don't fly into. You haven't done that yet, though, have you?
I haven't done that. No, the longest trips I've made is like from Minneapolis to Chicago, you know, kind of the upper Midwest area.
Yeah.
I have never done a true cross-country flight, but it's on the list.
Right.
And maybe now I'll be able to do that with the recent purchase I just made.
Yeah, well, you had a job transfer. You're going to actually, you're kind of, at least business-wise, relocating a little bit to Florida, I guess, right? Or at least you'll be down here a little bit more, maybe?
Unfortunately, no. I'm stuck with the new job. I'm still going to be here in Minnesota covering the Minnesota, Iowa, and North Dakota areas. And, you know, it's a lot of wide open places and the long drives between, you know, major cities up here. So this is a perfect application for general aviation. Instead of a six-hour drive from Minneapolis to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, we can jump in the plane and be there in an hour and a half.
Yeah,
that makes for a lot more efficient use of my time and also for the sales executives that I'll be traveling with.
Oh, I got you.
So we can get more done and come home for dinner.
Well, there you go. All right. So you're working it into your business plan, that kind of thing. But the reason I thought you were coming more to Florida is because you were asking me about doing some training down here maybe. But that was just so you could come down here, enjoy some of the sunshine, get away from the
exactly.
home base. I got you. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's talk about how you've applied it to your business. So because things have changed to make it a little bit more viable for you to use it in that capacity. Is that right?
That's correct. I have been renting aircraft from the local FBO for probably the last 10, 15 years. And, you know, they've always had a good fleet of rental, you know, rental equipment, Piper Warriors, Archers, Arrows. However, it's getting harder and harder to get on those schedules because there's been a lot of uptick in activity with student pilot training, and the airplanes are getting used a lot harder and they're less available. And when I need to go on a business trip for a day or even 2 days, it's hard to get those blocks of time on a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So I started inquiring into a couple of the flying clubs that were located at the same airport. And lo and behold, one of the flying clubs owns two airplanes, a Cessna 172 and a 177 RG Cardinal. And I started running the numbers, and it makes a lot more sense. And I actually plunked down an ownership share into the flying club, where now I own 1/25th of both airplanes.
Nice. So, and 1/25th, well, with splitting it up to that level, gives you enough access to the plane to get done what you need to get done, or there's plenty of scheduling flexibility with the two planes they have available to you?
Yes, and the way the club works is everybody, it's an equity club, so everyone has an ownership interest, and there's a maximum of 25 members. That's why I said I own 1/25th.
Oh, okay.
Everybody buys in, and there's a maximum of 25 pilots that could be using these airplanes. And I've, you know, talked to the several of the members of the club and looked at their flight schedules, and basically right now there's probably three booked trips in the next couple of weeks on the plane. So the availability's been no problem. They fly maybe 150 hours a year on each plane. So there's definitely going to be plenty of time on the schedules for me to be able to take, you know, an extended trip, you know, to an overnight stay in Des Moines or maybe out to Fargo, North Dakota, or, you know, someplace that's a reasonable flying distance, but an unreasonable car ride if you wanted to do it the same day.
Well, I'm hip. Now, I would imagine that would apply to, say, like flying down to West Palm Beach and then hopping over to the Bahamas for a night or two.
That's on my plan. I want to get my instrument rating, and I think I'm going to find a CFII that has similar interests and see if we can't book a true cross-country and, you know, really knock out a bunch of that instrument work at multiple airports in real-world situations and, yeah, pull into Pompano or Lauderdale Executive and do the paperwork and fly over to Bimini to the Big Game Club or whatever property deal's opening up next.
Right, and, exactly. I wonder, how long of a flight from Minnesota down to Palm Beach would that be? I mean, just miles-wise, have you ever figured it out or run that flight plan just for your own amusement or no?
Back when I had access to a Cirrus SR20, I was figuring it was about 8 hours. With the Cardinal, it's going to be a little bit slower, but, you know, I would still say it's a reasonable trip to make it probably in about 10 hours, break it up into two, maybe three legs, depending on bio breaks.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So that's what you have, an Archer, and the other one was a Cessna in your flight club?
No, we have a Cessna 172. It's a 1975 172N, mm-hmm. and we have a... I don't remember what year it is, but it's a Cessna 177 RG, so the Cardinal. That's basically the 172 without the struts and retractable landing gear and a 200-horse engine with constant-speed propeller. So it's got a little bit more
juice.
Bit more features.
Yeah?
Yeah, it also has the full Garmin panel, two-axis autopilot, so it's a real good cross-country plane.
All right.
Real stable, flies just like a 172, only a lot faster.
Got it. So, I mean, the other 172 has glass panels and the whole thing, too? Or no?
No, they're both steam gauges. They don't have the glass cockpit. You know, they're a little bit older, but they're steam gauges, which is, you know, been perfectly fine for, well, since they invented the things.
Yeah, well, you hop in with your iPad, plan out your, you know, flight plan there in ForeFlight or something. It doesn't really matter. You know, I was surprised when I flew in my brand-new 172 last week, which we talked about on the big show. There's a big video up there at justplainradio.com, by the way, you ought to check out. But I was surprised how little difference there was in the cockpit, even with the fact of having the whole high-tech glass panels and stuff. Really, the thing flew exactly the same as the 1975 or 6, 172 that I had initially flown in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, the airframe is essentially unchanged from when they invented them back in the 60s. You know, there's been a few updates and improvements to the 172 line over the years. You know, they added the OmniVision rear windows and the swept-back tail fin, but basically the airframe is pretty much identical. The improvement really is the panel that you're looking at. Yes, it's a lot. The glass cockpit is a lot more pilot-friendly. There's a lot of information presented in a very easy-to-understand format. But the old six-pack, you know, it's been a standby for many, many years and has been very reliable. And, you know, if you can learn to fly that, you can fly pretty much anything else. That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I haven't learned to fly that yet either. But I'm working on it. I'm making progress. Once again, check out the video at justplaneradio.com, and you would see at least I'm a good passenger now, much better than when I started this thing. All right, we got more coming up. Stay close to Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Deep Water Cay in the Bahamas has been a hotspot for world-class anglers and Hollywood stars for over 50 years. They fly into Freeport or take advantage of the 4,000-foot private runway. So in as little as 20 minutes from Florida, you too could be experiencing world-class fishing, diving, paddleboarding, whatever your adventurous heart desires, Deep Water Cay delivers. So treat yourself like the star that you are at Deep Water Cay's private island resort in the Bahamas. Go to deepwaterkay.com. That's deepwaterkay.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
A buzzer took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on a square. Buzzer tried to throw the monkey off his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack, straighten up and fly right, straighten up and stay right, straighten up and fly right, cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top."
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. He now joins us via Skype. And it sounds like he's right here with us. That's what we love connecting via the web. Keith, don't we?
Well, you know, I certainly enjoy it because, you know, if I can't be there in person, why not do it via technology?
Okay. I was going to say, you know, I would prefer not to be there in person because I don't have to smell you guys or see you if I turn my video camera off. But you're just being a little bit more politically correct. Is that how I should take this or what?
Well, you know me. I'm always politically correct.
That's true. Keith is one of the most easygoing guys you could ever admit. He would never insult anyone. We're so polar opposite. That's why we get along so well, I guess. But anyway, let's talk about me, Keith, because really,
before you talk about you.
Okay. All right. What?
I have to correct what you just said because what? I would certainly, you know, say something derogatory about somebody. I mean, just ask Ed.
Well,
you know,
true.
We're always picking on each other.
Well, that's right. And he's not here today, so we can say whatever the hell we want.
That's right.
Yeah, so it wasn't my odor that offended you so much. It was is Ed's is what you're trying to say.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, payback is a, we'll find out next week, I'm sure. But back to me. You know, last week I got the opportunity to fly with Captain Alex from Cessna. He was on this intern program, the Discover Flying Challenge. He took me up in a brand new 2014 Cessna 172. And, the video is up there at Just Plain Radio. I've been mentioning it. If you go there and just click on the tab for the July 12th edition of Just Plain Radio, the video will pop up there as well. And you see me fly, right chair. I'm in the right chair. And, I can't take off or land the plane, but he gave me the controls once we got up in the sky, and I got to fly around a little bit. And quickly got bored, which is the sign of a good mechanical plane, I'm guessing. Is that a fair thing to say?
Well, I'm not sure why you would say that you would get bored.
Well, it pretty much flew itself. I mean, just like Charlie Mike, once you get up there and you're just trying to maintain altitude, if you're not doing a whole lot, I mean, it gets kind of monotonous after a while, and the plane just flies itself. Like, okay, let's just set our cruising altitude and, set up the trim. Hey, we're good to go. All right, what do we see? What do we see? Keep an eye out for stuff and other planes. This was more of a sightseeing flight, and I knew it would be like that. I mean, we weren't going to do like skills or anything like that because it wasn't a training flight. But first of all,
was it because of that or because you didn't have skills?
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, okay. Ed definitely briefed him accordingly before we took off. And actually, I think he had a plan to sabotage me. I saw him off to the side before we got in the plane and took off, and he had a few words for Alex, and I'm pretty certain, well, and he kind of admitted this on the show, that they were going to see if they could sabotage me by taking me up there and doing a few loops or tight turns or something, see if they get me feeling a little woozy. And so I knew it was coming. I kind of had a feeling. I mean, Ed's not going to let me off that easy. You wouldn't either, for that matter. So, I kind of have that built-in, protector in my mind all the time when I'm dealing with you guys. So, he as many turns as he did, it wasn't an issue. I didn't get woozy. However, what we did, we got up there, and he gave me the controls. We flew over Lake Apopka, the training area here in Orlando, Florida, just like a typical training flight. Non-eventful. And then he said, well, okay, I'll tell you what. Why don't we cruise on down to the Disney World area, get above the 3,000-foot shelf, the TFR, no-fly zone, and fly over Disney, take a look around there, maybe Universal. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And we start heading that way, and we climb out, and he says, okay, well, how do you think? I'll say, this is great, but how about you take the controls, because I want to just look around. I'm bored now. I'm bored. Well, you fly, and then I'll actually, I'm too focused on trying to maintain my altitude and stuff like that. And because I'm still, a pilot in training. So I figured, hey, I'll hand it off to him and really enjoy it and soak it in. So that's what we did, and did some real tight turns and things around Disney, and that was pretty cool. Very, very small when you're up, 3,500 feet above Disney. And your feet don't hurt, and you can see way more. So, that's the best way to go to Disney World, right?
That is the best way to go to Disney World. The only better way is to do that when they're doing the fireworks.
Well, yeah, and we talked about that. Alex has done that many times. I guess he's done a lot of his flight training down in that neck of the woods because he used to live out on the coast, east coast of Florida. So he would fly over to Kissimmee and down around Disney, and he knew the area real well. So it was a fun flight. But, yeah, when you get up there and you're just cruising around, the plane flies itself. Didn't really fly any different than, Charlie Mike, the 1976, right? 77? 77. 77 Cessna 172 that I was learning to fly in, with the exception of maybe the engine sounded a little bit more, I don't know, smoother, maybe a little. It was more responsive when you put, you know, push in the throttle a little bit. But as far as the flying characteristics of the plane and stuff, it kind of it flew the same. And
there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, the Charlie Mike only has a 160 horsepower engine, and it's carbureted. And the new ones have 180 horse, so you got more horses, and it's fuel injected, so it's more responsive.
Ah.
Just like cars today, a carbureted car is a little bit less responsive, unless it's really tuned really well, than a fuel injected vehicle.
Okay, so what is the difference then? Because what I was comparing it to was our flight in the Red Hawk at Sun and Fun. That we flew in, and that thing had a FADEC. It was running on diesel. I mean, it had the same kind of smooth, you know, response to it. But it was
automatic. That also is all computerized. The FADEC is an actual computerized system that introduces fuel into the cylinders to let it burn.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, basically, you know, you set the power and just let it go, and it stays there. Whereas a fuel-injected system, the difference there is that you set the power where you want it, and it's going to just lightly spray into there, but it's still not quite as accurate as the FADEC system is.
Yeah, so FADEC is like computerized fuel injection, optimizing for the mix at the right altitude wherever you might be flying. Is that right?
That's correct.
It's kind of like a rebreather in scuba diving. I was talking to my diving friend about that off the air, and I was like, is it like that? He's like, yeah, kind of, because it mixes the oxygen to optimize the depth that you're at, and that's kind of what the FADEC system does for that. All right, we'll talk about this and more, including the flying vehicle that Captain Keith is going to flip out over. His dream has finally come true. That's next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings.
All right, so Captain Keith, I got to ask you, is this FADEC system on the Red Hawk that we did at Sun and Fun, is that the future where you don't have to set the mix manually like you would in even a new 172, and the run-ups are all computerized and all that kind of stuff, or what? What do you think?
Well, you know, sure. I mean, the jet engines have had that on there for quite some time, and it's just now starting to come down to the general aviation because it is more expensive. And it is easier to do with a diesel-powered or jet fuel-powered aircraft than it is with a gasoline engine. Hmm. And so the Red Hawk runs on Jet A, and so it's easier to do that with it.
Okay.
But it is a much more computerized system, and, you know, that diesel engine, for flight school especially, because you're getting only 5 gallons an hour versus 10 gallons an hour, on a gasoline engine.
Yeah, well, I would imagine even just any pilot would appreciate that, you know, that gas savings, that fuel savings anyway, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, especially with the cost of fuel today, unless you're in Texas once in a great while when Redbird runs their specials, which we've talked about on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, yeah, with the cost of fuel, yeah, if you can cut your fuel costs in half, man, I'd love to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is that where you think Cessna might be going someday, and they're just not there to that point yet? Because this, you know, that Red Hawk plane is still, I don't know, in the testing phase, or, well, they're about ready to launch it. They're almost ready to sell these things. I guess we'll find out at AirVenture here in a couple weeks, right?
That's right. And, you know, it's really kind of a crapshoot right now with Cessna. Cessna right now, you know, I really hate to say this, but Cessna has said that they're really not into single engine airplanes anymore. Mm-hmm. They think the market is in jets and, you know, the business jets and so forth, which, you know, that's going to be very, very interesting for the training market, because Cessna has been so prevalent in that market for years and years and years. However, there has been some work with the FAA to loosen the requirements for Part 23 certification so that some of the light sport aircraft
could fill that void.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. All right, we got more coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up. You want to hit back? We're going to have to wingsuit in. It's the only way to get close. I can't promise anyone a ride home, but if you're with me, the world needs you now.
I can fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith and Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com is the website you can go to and connect with Keith and Ed, for that matter, who's on vacation this week. And, well, he's taking a lashing this week, but we'll pay for it. Payback is, well, you know. And anyway, so, you know, after flying the new 172 from Cessna and the Red Hawk back in at Sun and Fun, which runs on diesel, has the FADEC, is all computerized and stuff, and is basically an old 172 that they refurbished with this new engine and everything. I got to tell you, Keith, they got to figure out a way to merge these two. I mean, because the, you know, I loved the Red Hawk, honestly. I mean, I thought as far as flying characteristics, they're exactly the same, right?
Well, they are. I mean, it's still just a 172. The only difference is, and what Red Hawk has done is taken an older 172 and completely stripped it out and redone the, you know, the airframe, painted it all up, new electrical wiring, new lights, and new avionics, new engine, and, you know, cleaned it up, new interior, and made it a new airplane, just an old airframe.
Right, right. Which is kind of crazy. It basically is a brand new airplane with the exception of the airframe, which
Correct.
Can last years and years and years if you take care of it, I guess, right?
Yes.
So,
yeah, because they even work on, you know, they take a look at the firewall up front, which is the weakest part of a Cessna, and if there's any kind of damage to it at all, bending at all, they replace it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's the weakest. The airframe is virtually brand new when they finish that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, like I said, that was the only thing I was missing in the new Cessna that I was like, well, wait a minute, this other plane was all automatic. I just pressed a button and the thing did an automatic run up for you. You didn't have to do anything just to make sure no red lights went off. It was like that plane to me was idiot proof or Greg proof, which is interchangeable, unfortunately for me. But I appreciated that. And now, but on the other side of the coin, from a trainer's perspective like yourself, is there advantage to having the knowledge of leaning the mixture and doing all this kind of stuff from, you know, an educational standpoint, or just being a more competent flyer or being able to deal with engines? Maybe the other way is dumbing it down a little bit too much, maybe? Or well, what? What do you think?
There's always a balance that you want to strike, because, you know, you may learn to fly in an airplane like that, but that may not be the airplane that you buy. You may not be able to afford that airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you'd have to learn how to do the leaning and so forth. So, you know, yeah, leaning airplanes and the old carburetor stuff is not going to be going away anytime real soon. So I think it's important to know both aspects of it.
Okay. All right. Well, whether or not it goes more idiot-proof like that, which it probably will be, it never hurts to have the experience with what's mostly out there now. So we'll see. And speaking of Charlie Mike, which was the plane I was learning on, you guys have kind of taken it out of service, and it's pretty much done at the flight school. Where's it going now? What are we going to? And what am I going to do?
Well, you're not going to fly because, you know, you haven't flown for a while. Anyway.
Wait, what are you talking about? I flew last week. You heard it. I got video proof.
Yeah, but you got bored real quick, and you know, so since you haven't been flying it, you know, we've decided that we're going to take that airplane, we're going to sell it, and we're going to look for something a little bit newer than a 77.
All right. And being that I actually have flown in Charlie Mike, does that make the price of the airplane more valuable? I mean, it goes up substantially, doesn't it?
Well, the people that we've had looking at it so far, they're saying just the opposite. They want a discount because you have flown that airplane.
Yeah, they're like, what's that smell? Well, Greg was flying. Yeah.
Yes.
And Captain Ed, you know. So, okay, I hear you. Well, we'll see. Hey, Ed's already said you guys are working on, replacing that plane in the fleet with something else, and maybe you'll come up with something else for me to take up and abuse. Is that the plan, maybe?
Well, that's the plan. We'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, I got something for you, Keith, and I don't know if you're aware of the announcement that came out this week, but there is a new flying machine that I thought you, of all people, will find very appealing, because it combines your two favorite things, which are what?
Flying and motorcycles.
Correct. So how about a flying motorcycle?
Talk to me, Goose.
Okay, here we go. All right, so the PAL-V or PAL-V1 is a rotable gyrocopter or flying motorcycle. So, you know, I guess it's a, I don't know, how you feel about driving three-wheelers? Because I think is a motorcycle contraption, it's a three-wheel motorcycle, I believe. Yeah, it's a three-wheel design. And, you know, it does have an upper hand against, or as opposed to flying cars, because it only needs to meet motorcycle regulations for highway use as opposed to the extensive crash testing required for automobiles. So it's less safe, which is right down your alley. You hear what I'm saying?
Well, you know, you know, the only thing I've got to say is, as long as I am physically capable, I will be on two wheels and not three.
Yeah. Well, so you're saying you're too good for three-wheelers? Or, you know, that's not your thing?
That's not my thing.
That's
yet.
A wussy motorcycler? That's not a real motorcycle guy?
Well, you know, I love the fact that they make three-wheelers for people that no longer have the ability to hold up a 900-pound motorcycle. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people like that, and they're still able to get out and ride because they do make three-wheelers.
Yeah.
But as for me personally, until I get to that stage, I think I'm going to stay on two wheels.
Yeah. Well, like I said, unless I'm misreading this a little bit, I'm pretty sure, you know, they consider the motorcycle, it's a three-wheeler. But it's a motorcycle, regardless.
Well, there's some truth to that. You'll have to send me the link to that so that I can check that out.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's the PAL-V1, PAL-V, and then spell out one. And it stands for Personal Air and Land Vehicle. It uses a 230-horsepower engine and to turn the pusher prop, and the main rotor auto-rotates to provide lift. So I guess it's more like a combination of a motorcycle helicopter than obviously a fixed-wing kind of thing. Because that's the way it's looking in the picture. It looks like, I think it is. I think it's more of like a helicopter kind of thing. Does that make sense? Yeah, why would they call it? Well, yeah, it's a flying, gyrocopter. So, yeah, it would be. So it's like a helicopter motorcycle, which would be a little different, I guess, for you. But you'd still take it, right?
Well, you know, I'd certainly give it a try.
Yeah. So, well, there you go. You know, you learn something new every day, and now maybe you have something that you can combine your love for flying and cycling. And there we go. We'll see. Now, the other thing that I love to bring up, that this is more of, I just bring it up to annoy you. And that's what we're talking about drones. You know, they're all over. They keep getting more and more coverage on the mainstream media. They are finally starting to, you know, show up in those news magazines on TV, and people are going, oh my God, the end is near. Our privacy is going out the window because someone's going to fly one of these drones over and take pictures of you naked or whatever. And yeah, I think that's the least of our worries, especially from a pilot's perspective. But here's
one. I'm not near as worried about drones as I am about the NSA. I'll say that.
Well, okay. Good point. But here's one that might spook you. I saw some drones this week online that are basically robot birds. flying bird. You know, we got bird strike problems as it is. I was talking about this a year ago, this drone issue that's coming up. I mean, you know, we got a lot of stuff to look out for already as being a private pilot. But now, not only do we got to look out for real birds, they are making these drones that actually fly like birds, robot birds, robo bird. And I mean, you see this thing fly. You can look this up on YouTube or Google it, and it'll pop up there in these videos of these flying robot birds. And well, what are we going to do, Keith? I'm scared to death now. How are we going to manage
this? You're not going to fly? Is that the idea?
No, I'm not. I'm just going to say it's just one more thing we got to add to the list to look out for. But, I mean, how are you going to regulate? It's one thing to regulate drones. How are you going to regulate a flying robot bird? You're just going to put it under category to avoid birds, period? Yeah, I don't care. Whether it's a robot bird or a real bird, just turn away.
That's it. You got to avoid everything.
Maybe it's a sign of the apocalypse, but who's paying attention to that anyway? All right, more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Never feel sorry for a man who owns a plane.
So here I stand, and then again I say, I'm hoping we can make some wishes out of airplanes.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now. Wish right now. Wish right now.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. All right, so, you know, there's a lot of things that we have to consider as pilots, whether you're flying a little 172 or what the future is going to bring with us with technology and things what we have to avoid, whether it's robot birds or FedEx that do all the work for us as far as leaning mixtures and things like that in our little planes. But what about supersonic flight? Flying faster than the speed of sound, you know, that is the future, you know, that at least some of the big carriers are, you know, people like Richard Branson are funding technology to make planes faster. They want to get places faster. They're thinking, you know, a flight from New York to L.A. someday will be 15 minutes, which would be pretty sweet. I'd like that. Wouldn't you like that, Keith?
Oh, absolutely.
So what is holding up the progress of making that happen. It ends up, at least to one article I read this week, that it is not the technology. The technology is very close to being achieved, and they've already, I don't know, there's some folks that have already like patented windowless fuselages and dumped $100 million into this technology, that, you know, and that kind of thing. But they see that there's going to be a market for supersonic flight. But the number one problem that they're having to overcome is not necessarily the propulsion and the energy needed in the airplane design. It's the sonic boom. The sonic boom problem.
Yeah, that's correct. And that's where the problem comes in.
Yeah.
You know, British Airways flew the Concorde for years.
Right.
And that was a supersonic airplane. And, you know, they were flying along a little bit over Mach. And so, but they're restricted to go into airports right on the coast. And that was it.
Huh.
They could not fly over the continental U.S. because of the boom. And, you know, they allowed the space shuttle to do it because of the altitude the space shuttle was at. It didn't affect anything, but you start to get down lower, that sonic boom will start breaking windows, and it just causes all kinds of havoc.
Well, I don't know. How are they supposed to get over this problem? Is that like any other technology where it's just a plane design that they got to come up with a type of wing that won't create this sonic boom sound, you think? Or do you have any idea?
I'm guessing that that's the case. You know, with the space shuttle, especially living in Florida, we would hear it on a regular basis. There was always two sonic booms, one from the front and one from the rear. And so I think it's just a matter of learning how to design the fuselage and the wings to prevent that from happening. And I'm sure that they've got technology or very close to having technology that'll happen.
Yeah, well, we already got robot birds flying around the skies. Why can't we create a supersonic jet that doesn't have the sonic boom? Surely there is someone out there with some kind of plan. And anyway, it's in development, but that evidently is the number one problem holding back supersonic flight, at least at the moment.
It is. And, the other thing is just the cost. You know, even the Concorde, you know, it could only get 100 people on board the airplane. And the amount of fuel that it takes, you know, you got to have more people to pay the bill.
Mm-hmm.
So getting a number of people on board the airplane, that's why the airlines are merging together and shrinking and buying bigger airplanes so that they can fly more people from destination to destination instead of flying smaller airplanes with more frequency.
Yeah, they actually, I don't know if it was Airbus or Boeing, put out some patent this week where they actually created another row of seats on the commercial liner that were up above around the headrests of the other seats, right down the middle of the plane, kind of like you're riding a bicycle. So you're up above everybody else, so you're like on a bike seat above, so they could fit another row of passengers in. They said this was just purely a concept design that they wanted to patent for, I don't know, God knows what kind of reason. But it didn't look very comfortable. You hear what I'm saying? Have you ever been on a bike for like 5 minutes or more? It's not good for certain areas of the body. You hear what I'm saying? It just didn't look like a very comfortable seat, even for a short flight. I don't know.
Well, you know, I have problems with the airplanes that we have today not having enough leg room. And to be able to do something like that, I'm headroom, leg room, you know, it doesn't sound comfortable to me at all.
No, that doesn't sound like a win-win right there. Sounds like a lose-lose. But I don't know. Who knows? We'll see. You know, like I said, there's some supersonic jets. I mean, the designs are already on paper. Like, let's see. There's this company, Spike Aerospace, has a 12 to 18 passenger Mach 1.6 plane on paper. They're not taking paper or orders for it yet, but it has a windowless, you know, fuselage, about $100 million per aircraft, but it can go Mach 1 by 1.6, which is what is one Mach 1? Is that the sound? Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yep.
So that's like six more. That's crazy speed. I don't know. Probably really noisy too, I'm guessing. I don't know. We'll have to see. All right. Other story here is about Aviation News. And we've talked about a lot of things here on Just Plane Radio as far as getting into aviation as a career. And Captain Keith is a commercial pilot himself. He trains people now in that regard. And, you know, we've talked about there have been a pilot shortage. But now an article comes out this week is one of the problems they're having is not only do they got a pilot shortage, but less people are getting into aviation as a career because the pay has went down to a level where it's looking less attractive than other careers. What do you think of that?
To start, yeah, there's an absolute truth to that whole thing. If you get into the career and you stay there and you can get on with one of the majors, you're still going to make over 100K a year. So you can still have a fairly good paycheck. But it's that starting pay that has really hurt the industry a lot.
Well, we got a pilot shortage, so maybe that'll finally start to catch up because of that and change that around a little bit. Time will tell, and of course, we'll keep following it right here on Just Plane Radio. And that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site for Morbid.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.